Come on, you said these were going to be brain teasers. Come on. What are you people, freaking crazy? Are you nuts? The Bromosa, big storm. The guy wants footballs. And I'm going to have 1.5 bagels. Every freaking 3 days, there's a storm coming off the west coast of Africa.
Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is on. The next podcast will be after opening day of the 2021 season. We made it. Presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford, 61 years, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. The sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. He drives a cherry red Ford Escape 2020, gorgeous luxury model. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. Ira, I'm so fired up because this is our prediction podcast where we get to put it all on the table, as you would say, in Brooklyn. We got questions. We got answers coming. This is exciting stuff. How are you, Sage?
I'm doing well. Speaking of Bill Curry Ford, we just left the joint. Sean Sullivan, the general manager. I mean, the guy is so philanthropic, so gracious. We just did our fantasy draft, Steve, and out of nowhere, he said, I'm putting up $1,000 for the winner. I mean, who does that? Great showroom. They got big-time improvements coming. He's always trying to make things better, Sean Sullivan. Steve, as far as that fantasy draft, I hit the fourth round. I said, it might be a little too early for a quarterback, but I was looking at Russell Wilson. Then I looked at Tom Brady. I had a tough call to make. And I went with Tom Brady, Mr. Isbitz. Brady's my quarterback for my fantasy team.
Sounds good, Ira. And Sean Sullivan is ready to be the quarterback for all of our listeners. If you need anything, you contact him, BillCurryFord.com, or you can get his email there. You can call him at the dealership, and he's going to give you the Ira Kaufman discount. But more important, he's going to give you guidance on whatever questions you might have. He's going to help you personally, which you're not going to get from a general manager of a big dealership anywhere across the Tampa Bay area. He loves doing it. He loves talking Bucks with you, NFL draft, whatever it might be. Bill Curry Ford. You got a friend in the car business with Sean Sullivan, the GM. Congratulations, Ira. You got Brady as your quarterback. My quarterback is Josh Allen, and I look forward to pounding you in the league this year, but not necessarily at quarterback, Ira. We'll see. Brady's going to have a great year, and we're excited because this podcast, Sage, this is about you speaking out, speaking your mind, and I got a bunch of questions typed up here. We'll go around the horn. So that means you're going to answer first, Ira, or you can deflect to Lee. Since you're the sage, you can decide if you want a few more seconds, and I'll go last since I'm the host here. So are you ready, Ira?
I believe Lee and I are both standing ready.
Lee, do you have a big storm beer open and ready to go to take this on?
No, because we're recording from Ira's car, and I don't want to get Ira a ticket.
There you go.
But I find this intriguing, if not amusing, that Ira now has a vested interest in Brady not throwing the ball to a backup Bengals running back.
All those 8-yard passes to Giovanni Bernard, they all count, Lee. They all count.
That's fantastic. Yeah, you're right, Lee. A financial vested interest in no 6-yard passes on 2nd and 5 to Giovanni Bernard. Beautiful. Beautiful. You didn't draft Bernard, Ira, in the 5th round, did you?
He went undrafted, Mr. Isbitz. Undrafted.
Yeah, no surprise there. All right, Sage, here we go. First up. Now, remember, you can pass it off to Lee if you don't want to answer first. Who leads the Buccaneers in receiving yards this season, and how many yards will he have?
I got to go with the standard case, Mike Evans. One way or another, he's got to keep that streak going. He wants it. Arians wants it for him. Brady wants it for him. And I don't think there's going to be enough balls to go around because he's going to end up with 1,179 yards. Mike Evans.
That's the smart pick. I would normally go with that. The only reason I'm picking someone different, only reason, is because when Ronald Jones had a chance to get 1,000 yards, guess who made sure he got his bonus with X amount of receptions? Antonio Brown. But I the Suns, Evans will continue his streak. You know, the 17 games is going to help him. There's something in me tells me, you know, those guys are bros. He wants to make sure his former tenant gets
stuff. How many yards for Antonio?
Ooh, 1,200.
1,200 for Brown. What say you, Mr. Isbitz?
Well, I'm also going Mike Evans. I think he's poised for a monster season. But I'm going to go much bigger, Ira. I'm going to go 1,350 yards for Evans in a runaway lead here. But Lee's right. It wouldn't shock me if Antonio Brown gets there because Brady wants him to have it. And I think there's a lot to that.
Both of those guys were very, very impressive during training camp. Very impressive.
All right, Ira, right on cue here. Who leads the Buccaneers in rushing yards and how many?
I'm going to go with my man, Ronald Jones. I'm not abandoning Rojo, but 1,000 yards, 17 games. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say he doesn't make it. But I'm going to say 933 for Rojo tops the ball club. Rojo.
Wow, 933. Interesting. I will go with Rojo as well. And I'll say he breaks that 1,000-yard plateau. Not by much. I'll say 1,060.
There you go. You've heard from us, Steve.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Well, I am going with Ronald Jones, and I'm going with 999 yards.
Isn't there a Price is Right though? You under $1 under? Is that how you host people in on Price is Right? You go $1 below.
Steve, is that your way to say now I'm going to sign Ronald Jones for 2022, but I'm going to get him at a bargain rate because he can't say he's a 1,000-yard back.
With 5 minutes left in week 17, Antonio Brown needs one more touchdown to make $150,000, and the Bucs go to the 2-minute offense, leading 38-12, and Rojo loses out.
All right, well, Leonard Fournette. What happened to Leonard Fournette, Stevie? What happened?
Well, I just think, well, personally, I think while Fournette is a great back, and I think he has a higher ceiling than Rojo, I think the inconsistency might be there. I think ultimately he's not the guy who can split carries. I think he needs to be that number one back. And I like Rojo. I think he's going to lead. It doesn't mean Fournette's going to have a bad year, but I think Rojo will edge him out.
Okay.
All right, Sage. Now, we mentioned Big Storm Beer. It's important to remind everybody, hey, football season literally is here. College football was just this past weekend. Get to BigStormBrewery.com. I got some news, guys. Any day now, you're going to see Bromosa in Publix. The number one. Game changer. Number one beer from Big Storm Beer is their Tangerine IPA Bromosa, and it's coming to Publix. So very exciting. It may not be there for a little bit, but keep your eye out in your beer section. Big Storm Beer is Florida's very best craft beer. And, of course, at many other places you can already find Bromosa, Wavemaker Amber Ale, all the Big Storm greats, Sprouts, Fresh Market, liquor stores, and all kinds of quality establishments. And the Big Storm tap rooms are there for you in Clearwater, Cape Coral, Amway Center in Orlando, and in Odessa, right off State Road 54, BigStormBrewery.com. All right, the questions get a little tougher.
Wait a minute, Steve. I got a nugget for you about Big Storm.
All right.
Last night, my wife and I were in our favorite Asian restaurant, Zen Forest. Really a class establishment. And they give me the wine list, and I look at it, and it's a nice little book over there, and I'm going through the whites and the reds and the beers. And there, for the first time, the Bromosa, Big Storm. They are ready to take this place by storm, Steve. They are everywhere, and I was so happy to see it. And, of course, I ordered it.
Nice. Well done, Ira. That's a powerful beer for a dinner there, Ira. I'm sure you were a barrel of laughs after that.
Zen Forest.
Zen Forest. Good name, good place, and now good beer.
And the king of Newport Richey knows where to go when it comes to Newport Richey. So there you go. So here we go, Ira. This gets a little more intriguing. Who plays more games this season, and how many do they play? Rob Gronkowski or O.J. Howard?
Come on. You said these were going to be brain teasers. Come on. Rob Gronkowski is going to play 13 games, and that's about six more than O.J. Howard. Rob Gronkowski, 13.
Ouch.
I don't have a lot of faith in Howard staying healthy. I'm sorry. I do not. Based on his history, Gronk's not going to play 16 games, but he's going to play more than O.J. Howard. And, Lee, I don't think it's going to be close.
I agree with you. Gronk easy. I'm just what Ira said. O.J. Howard's history speaks volumes. I don't even know if he's healthy right now, to be honest with you. I'm not sure he's 100%. I'll say Gronk plays 14. And I'm not trying to do a Price is Right on here, Ira. But I'm just guessing he misses three games. Then, obviously, it's a 17-game season, so that would be 14 games. I don't know if you saw it, that they did a little Q&A with Gronk, Brady, Levante David, and Mike Evans.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
If I recall correctly, didn't Gronk say, hey, I feel great, better than he did last year?
He did.
Last year was the first full season he had in like 9 years? Is that right?
Yeah.
That'll be a long time. The bumps and bruises will catch up with him. But I'd say he misses three games. That means he plays 14. Like Ivor said, O.J. Howard's history, no way he plays.
Something tells me that his bits is laying in the weeds here for O.J. Howard. I think he's going to pull O.J. Howard out of his butt here. What do you say, Steve?
I am actually going to go with O.J. Howard. And I'm going
to... Ivor sitting there with his eyes closed like, I don't believe he just said that.
And I'm going to say that Howard plays 16 games, but... I'm not going to sit here 16 out of 17, but I'm not going to say that he's healthy, and I'm not going to say that he plays like he is healthy, but I do think that, hey, maybe this is the year he hangs around. And Gronk, I think while it was real and he played well last year and he got better and he says he's feeling great, he's still an old tight end with a history of breaking down. And, I think that might catch up to him. So if I had to put a number on both, I'd say Howard 16, Gronk 13.
Curious, Steve, because O.J. Howard's history, are you factoring in that maybe peer pressure will keep O.J. Howard on the active roster and play 16 games?
You mean investiture?
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Future investiture. Do you think it's peer pressure, like, hey, guys, come on, O.J., we're trying to get a Super Bowl here. Now, you can't say that about a blown Achilles. There's no way you can play with that. But you think he's going to suck it up and play more games than usual? Because guys are like, look, we got our goal is to win a championship. We need you. We can't have you sitting on a bench or in street clothes up in a press box.
I don't know. I think also there may be a combination there for me that Cam Brate plays more than he did last year. Remember, he was completely buried on the bench until Howard left in week four. So I don't know. There may be more balance this year, but we're just guessing here. I think Howard will last through the season, but I don't know how healthy he'll be overall, but healthy enough to play.
And Steve, he's motivated in terms of looking for his next contract. No question about it.
Contract year. Absolutely. All right. I need numbers here. We got four guys for numbers here. So rapid fire, Sage. How many sacks for Jason Pierre-Paul, Shaq Barrett, Devin White, and Joe Tryon? Again, JPP, Shaq, Devin White, Joe Tryon.
9, 11, 7, 7.
9, 11, 7, and 7. JPP, Shaq, Devin White, and Tryon. Lee?
10 with JPP, Shaq with 11. Tryon's number 3?
Devin White's 3.
Devin White? 9. Tryon, 6.
Interesting. All right. JPP, I'm going 9.5. I'm going 14.5 for Shaq. I'm going 7 for White and 6 for Tryon.
Ira, I want to ask you this. What do you think about this? There's a guy, he's a stat geek. He does a lot of research. His research is really good. But he's a typical stat geek in the sense that he never factors in injuries or pass injuries. Never does it. And he was basically saying, well, Shaq didn't get a lot of sacks. Basically, I believe that Shaq's sacks dropped for two reasons. JPP was basically playing on one leg, and Vita Vea. Once Vita Vea got in that lineup, Shaq blew up. He absolutely blew up. And I don't think that's a coincidence. Are you kind of thinking along those lines that one reason Shaq did not have double-digit sacks because Vea was out?
Thinking more about Vea than I am JPP, because JPP, he's never going to be 100%. I mean, he's such a violent player. He's always going to have something wrong with him. But your point is well taken with Vita Vea. Now, maybe it was the importance of the games, you know, January games, February games, and that got, you know, Shaq, his adrenaline going. But he had, you know, look, Lee, let's be honest. He had 4 or 6 weeks where Buck fans were saying, what's going on with Shaq Barrett?
Yeah,
I mean, that's a fact. And it was a contract year for him to boot. But I think he bounces back with 11. I think the days of 19 are crazy. But 11 seems reasonable to me, and Vea's going to help him get there.
The same stat geek, and I thought it was very interesting. He's predicting a big year for Shaq. He really is. One of the reasons why he's predicting a big year, he said a lot of the Bucks opponents on the schedule, leaky offensive lines.
Nice. Not the Saints. I think
no, but like the Giants and the Panthers.
The Jets. Yeah. That's a fair point. If the Saints have a saving grace, Lee, and I'm going to rip them in a column coming up.
Ooh.
But their O-line is probably the strength of the team.
Yeah,
they got good tackles. All right, Stevie.
All right, Sage. Yeah, I just think Shaq, you know, he did make some comments late last season and after the season, immediately after that, he just wasn't on his game for a variety of, you know, in a variety of aspects until late, until against the Saints in the postseason. So I don't know. I think Shaq has sort of found it mentally or refound whatever he had back in 2019. You know, you can't have that many sacks. And I think JPP is going to suffer a little bit from trying getting a bunch of reps. They're eager to spread it around and preserve these guys. And I think ultimately for JPP, it'll hurt him a little bit. You would think teams aren't going to, you know, they're going to throw more short passes against the Bucs this year. I don't think they want to deal with that pass rush. I don't know. I think we might see some different ways that the Bucs get attacked.
So they would rather tangle with Levante David and Devin White in a pass game as opposed to the young secondary guys. Interesting. All because of the sacks. I'm not saying you're wrong. That's an interesting thought process.
Well, Steve, I think it's an interesting first week test. You know, look, we're not going to have another chance to talk about the Cowboys because the next podcast will be after the game, Steve. But I'll say this. Dallas's defense, I think, stinks unless Micah Parsons turns into J.J. Watt as a rookie. But they are very formidable in terms of their weapons. There's no question about it. We will get an early test of that Buck defense, especially if Prescott is healthy as he claims to be. They've got some weapons. They got Zeke in the backfield. Now, Steve, their O-line, it's not as good as it used to be. It's not. And Zach Martin is now apparently out. That big, crushing loss for Dallas.
And Lyle Collins, if Lyle Collins is dinged up like they claim he is,
yeah.
Man, if I was the Bucs, I'd put Tryon on the left side along with Shaq and go hunt, as Warren Sapp would say, go hunt. It's going to be interesting. I was listening to NFL Radio coming in for Todd Wright's fantasy draft, and he said, Max Stark, you know, former lineman for the Steelers, he came flat out and said he thinks Cowboys are going to go heavy left side of the line because the right side's leaky. They'll be throwing left. They'll be sending Emmett Smith, goodness gracious. They'll be sending Zeke left side. It'll be a very heavily left-balanced attack.
Well, you're going right at JPP, so
yeah,
good luck, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Ira, which 30 and older Buccaneer, if any, which 30 and older Buccaneer will start to look old or fade this season, keeping in mind that Giovanni Bernard turns 30 in November?
I will defer to Mr. DeKemper on this
one. About that. Cam Brate. If O.J. Howard plays a lot, I think that's going to take snaps away from Brate. And Brate is also a guy that's dinged up a lot now. He's healthier than O.J. Howard in the sense that he's more reliable than O.J. Howard. But I think there was times last year where, at times, not all the whole season, I hate saying this because he's such a good guy, but there were times last year where it crossed your mind, has he peaked? It's not unreasonable or uncommon to expect him to have back problems. When they have a back problem once in a while, that's not a good combination. The guy hits 30 and he's got back issues. I'm not saying he has back issues now, but hey, he started training camp 2 weeks late. He was in on floppy hat patrol.
Ira,
I'm going to say Gronkowski. I'm going to say Gronkowski as the season wears on, 17-game season, takes its toll. They asked Gronkowski to do a lot of grunt work in terms of blocking. That was a big part of the Bucs' success in running the football in 2020. And that's not going away because you're not going to ask Cameron Brate or O.J. Howard, I might ask, to do the dirty work in those trenches. And Gronk doesn't mind doing it, and he's good at doing it. Mm-hmm. I say he gets worn down by late November, so I'm going to say Rob Gronkowski.
On the same front, Ira, I'm going to go with Ryan Jensen. Ryan Jensen, you know, and I'm not knocking the guy, but I don't think he's the necessarily the committed fitness guy to let me play till I'm 35 guy like Gronk and others. So if I got to pick one, I'm going with Jensen. 17-game season is no friend to him, I think, and so I'm going to go with him.
Is he 30, Steve? He's yep. 30, right?
He's in the club. The Bucs lead the league with those old guys. All right, Ira, look, you know the number. You know the website, floridaselitestoration.com. Don't screw around, people. If you have mold in your house, if you have mold in your condo, if you've got a fire, if you had an electrical issue that sent some sparks into your ceiling and you had some issues, if you have a storm blow through and or you've got a flood, which causes tremendous damage in your house, you got flood, you call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. First phone call 24/7. They will respond quickly. They will give you a free estimate, a free assessment, really, not an estimate, a free assessment in your home to let you know what's going on. And they'll help guide you with your insurance company. Because once you pick up that phone to the insurance company, you got a problem and it doesn't always go very smoothly. Florida's Elite Restoration. They're going to help you, Ira. I hope you don't have any problems. It's September. You don't need any more headache. You got to eat that fancy Chinese food and drink Bromosa.
Steve, you mentioned September for a reason. Water damage is particularly acute, I think, in Florida in September. September's a hellacious month from a weather perspective. Why? First of all, every freaking 3 days, there's a storm coming off the west coast of Africa. I watch it all the time. It might develop, it might not develop. Well, if there's 18 storms coming off Africa in the month of September, four or five of them are going to be a problem. They may not hit Florida, but they're going to be a problem. Two, it still rains like hell in September. This is the time of year, Steve, every year now, that I can't wait. I count down the days to like October 12th. I want that first cool front coming in. I'm not one of these people. I love the heat. I love the 104 heat index. What are you people, freaking crazy? Are you nuts?
I'm crazy.
Nobody likes that.
I'm crazy.
Water damage, I think, is a problem, particularly in September. And you got to go with Florida's Elite Restoration.
You and Paul Delgado.
That's it. Steve, how are you going to follow that, Steve?
I don't know. You think you're Dennis Phillips over there, Ira. Next thing you know.
He was at the fantasy draft
with his Saquon Barkley Penn State.
That's right. That's right.
A lot of C-list celebrities at our fantasy draft. Including you, Ira. Including you.
Dave Worth. Chris Torello from Bay News 9, and of course, Sean Sullivan and Todd Wright.
Hey, by the way, I think Wednesday, Bay News 9 is going to be running the feature.
Yeah, that's right,
on
Steve.
The fantasy draft.
Wednesday.
Yeah, no, a lot of fun times. I'm just teasing, of course. I just like your weather reports, Ira. And everybody's got a call.
Doppler, Ira.
Yeah, Doppler. Love that Doppler.
All right, Sage. Any problem, you call Florida's Elite Restoration. Boom, that's it. All right. Describe Devin White's season in relation to last year. What are we going to see compared to last year?
You are going to see the finishing touches on a complete linebacker who is almost certain to make his first Pro Bowl and possibly an All-Pro berth. And by that, I mean he wants to be the best. Now, you say, well, everybody does. No. Not like Devin White. Devin White wants to be the best at what he does. He's almost there, but he's not quite there. Why? He's got to get a little better in coverage. But he improved quite a bit down the stretch, just as the Saints, just as Drew Brees, who is not known for throwing picks.
And Mahomes.
We know he can blitz. I think his blitz numbers will go down a little bit because with Joe Tryon aboard, and I think Shaq's going to have a better year. I don't think Bowles is going to find the need to blitz much. Steve, he will continue his growth as a complete linebacker, and you will see the improvement in the coverage game for Devin White.
Do you think one reason why he won't blitz as much, Ira, is that offenses will be expecting him?
Yes. Yes, I do. He showcased that he could have easily had double digits before Bowles called off the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
He did call them off. He was well on his way. Very, very rare for an inside linebacker to have double-digit sacks. Extremely rare. And White was going to do it. And so he's back this year. You said yourself, if the guy plays like he did in the postseason, the guy's going to be one of the great linebackers in this league, if not the best.
Mm-hmm. I firmly believe that. He's the next Ray Lewis, maybe better. And I know that's saying a lot, but the numbers he put up in the playoffs was better than the numbers Ray Lewis put up in his first playoff appearance. It was that impressive. And part of that was he, like you mentioned, Ira, he improved on his pass coverage. This is hard to define. This is hard to put it. It's impossible to put a number on it. But this impressed me in training camp. I didn't see this from Devin White before. Now, I'm not a big thing about leaders. You guys know that. I think that's just lazy host sports radio talk. But he said something in training camp that sounded like Warren Sapp. And we all know Warren Sapp was the man for the defense. He was asked about Joe Tryon. And in so many words, Devin White said, if you want to play on this defense, you can't be a one-trick pony. You have to stop the run first. And he said he's a good player, he's talented, but until he's able to stop the run, he can't start on this defense. We set a standard that we stop the run, and I want him to play that way. I think he'll become that player, but he's not there yet. That blew my mind.
Wow.
I don't ever remember a third-year player saying that, but he's got the street cred to say it.
All right, Sage, I got to correct the record. I got to jump in here, Ira, because you know me. I got to correct the record. I don't like this stuff hanging out there. Todd Bowles didn't call off any dogs, Ira. Devin White had 4 sacks in his last 2 games, and he missed the last game with COVID. So I don't know about any dogs getting called off. He feasted on a lousy Falcons team and a lousy Lions team to get 4 sacks late. I'm not taking anything away from Devin White, but I think Devin White actually is not going to make that leap this year. I think Levante David's going to have a better year. I'm going to put that out there. And I think White will sort of be the player he was last year, which is just fine. But I don't think he's going to make this move into becoming the player we saw in the playoffs week in and week out.
Now, wait a minute. While you're doing this deep dive research, Isbits, how many sacks did Devin White have in the 4 postseason games? How many? Could it be 0? Could it be?
I think so, but I have to look it up.
So he called off the dogs. Thank you very much, Isbits. Okay. Next question.
Called off the dogs. Oh, my gosh, Ira. Come on. I get you, Sage. Again, I'm not anti-Devin White here. I think what we saw in those last playoff games where he did get the benefit of a couple of weeks off and then came out like he was shot out of a cannon, I'm not sure he can pull that off for the whole season. And I think we're going to see, again, offenses adjust quite a bit to the Bucs this year because they feel they'll have to, and you know, we'll see how that looks. But anyway, all right, Ira, the next question, I've already answered it. So, biggest positive surprise this season from the Bucs. Biggest positive surprise. I'm going to put Levante David on that list as outplaying Devin White and having a very special season.
I will defer to Mr. DeKemper on this one. Positive surprise, Lee.
This almost sounds like a gimme. Earlier I said Joe Tryon gets 6 sacks.
Yes.
A positive surprise, 8.
Whoa.
That would be a surprise.
That would be positive.
I would say Joe Tryon with 8. Now, I'm not predicting that, but if you want to say, okay, well, what's going to be a positive surprise, I'm going to say Joe Tryon with 8 sacks.
All right, and I'm going to give my positive surprise, Stevie. The Bucs' leading interceptor in 2021 with 4 picks, Mike Edwards. Mike Edwards. That's a surprise.
You think so?
Well, we don't even know if he's a starter at this point.
Yeah, but boy, he plays good. I see where you're coming
from. Yeah, Mike Edwards. How do you like that, Stevie? How do you like that?
You're going to go with a guy who said he's been practicing like crazy on catching the ball, and he has led the league in pass breakups since 2019. Carlton Davis.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Ryan Smith, but
a breakup of another breakup. Sort.
Steve, I'm going with little Mike Edwards. That's a tip of the cap to Coach Nick Rapone right there, Stevie.
Ira, I thought you were going to go with Tom Brady misses a game and Blaine Gabbert comes in and plays lights out, but I guess not.
Steve, don't make me drive off the road, Stevie.
All right. Now, of course, the obvious is biggest negative surprise. Who drops off that nobody's expecting?
Biggest negative surprise. I'm going to go with a collective group. A collective group. The Bucs do not lead the league in rushing defense for a third consecutive year. They don't fall off the map, but they fall from first to number 10. From first to number 10, I don't think Golston can have the same kind of year. I think Sue will fall off a little. I like Vea being in the lineup. But 3 years in a row, number one rush defense, not going to happen. There's your negative. They fall a 10th.
10th? Wow. 10th.
Lee, what do you got? Little Ryan suck-up action?
That's almost too easy.
There you go.
This is a brain tease for me. And Ndamukong Suh misses a game. Not from COVID, not from any suspension. He misses a game from an injury.
Doesn't he have a big streak going?
Yeah, I don't think he's ever missed a game for an injury. He's missed a couple games for suspensions. I don't think he's ever missed a game for an injury. I predict he misses a game for an injury. If that's a negative.
And Steve's going to say that Darden returns a punt for a touchdown. I know where Isbitz is going. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's supposed to be a negative.
Yeah.
Doubles his first punt return.
A negative. Darden scores a touchdown.
All right, go ahead, Steve.
Well, Ira, I'm not sure that would be a surprise necessarily, but it's a very tough question, and it's a difficult one, especially as we all sit here as Bucks fans on the doorstep of the season with a team that we believe is the best in the NFC. So very difficult, but you know what? I was sort of in lockstep with Lee. I was going to pick Ndamukong Suh, just his game falling off a little bit. I don't know if that'll affect ultimately the run defense. I'm not sure it's going to knock them down. I don't want to predict that, but I do think we're not going to see. If I had to pick one person, I'd say Suh maybe takes that half step back as a guy who has played a million games and has done it before in past seasons where he's taken a step back, not with the Bucks, but we've seen it before. All right, Ira.
That's the point, Steve. That's the point. He's been doing this since 2010, right, Steve? 2010.
You got it.
He came out second, and McCoy was third. And boy, that's a long time in the trenches.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's got any kind of fresh legs because he only played a half the season. The guy plays every game. So, Steve, I'm with you a little bit on that one. It's got to show one of these years. It's got to show.
We're just picking. I wouldn't bet against Suh having a decent year, but if we're picking, that's what I'm picking. All right. Will there be any Antonio Brown drama this season of any kind? Yes or no, Ira?
I got to say yes. Brady's going to do his darndest to keep him in line. He knows that Arians ain't got a great deal of patience for him, no matter what Arians might want to say in front of a podium right now. He didn't want him. He did not want the guy to begin with. I mean, there's no getting around that. And I don't know that there's enough balls for Brown. And I don't think he's built of the same stuff as Evans and Godwin. Psychologically, I don't. And I think he's in great shape. I was very impressed with him in camp, with his passion, his enthusiasm. But Lee, ultimately, the guy wants footballs. And if he doesn't get enough, you know, as much as Brady wants to satisfy the guy, he's got a lot of mouths to feed.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of mouths to feed. And here comes O.J. Howard. He wants his.
Mm-hmm.
and he's going to take away from some.
And his old buddy Punk.
You know, midway through the season, the Brown's got, you know, 27 catches and 410 yards and four touchdowns. I don't know if that's enough for Antonio Brown. Right now, everything's rosy. His history tells you otherwise. So I'm going to say there might be a problem with Brown. It might be like Leonard Fournette in midseason last year. Arians have a talk with Fournette. I'll cut you right now if you don't get on board. I think it could come to that. It could.
It could. Steve, this may be the easiest question you've asked for me. Absolute slam dunk, yes. And I'll tell you why. He already had drama this year. Remember the fight he got in with Chris Jackson? So, yes, absolutely there's going to be drama. There already was drama.
But right now everything's rosy. So,
oh, sure, yeah.
Good one, Lee. I mean, it's a clean slate now, but I'm an absolute yes. I mean, this is something I would wager on just because it's Antonio Brown. Ira, what is the Buccaneers' record up until the bye week? So that's through the first 8 games of the season, ending with Halloween against the Saints. So first 8 games, and just for kicks here, Sage, so the fans are in lockstep, and then you are fully aware. I'm going to read the schedule off really quick. You ready?
Ready.
Okay, here we go. So we open up at home against Dallas, Atlanta at home, at the Rams, at the Patriots, home for the Dolphins, at the Eagles, home for the Bears, and at the Saints.
I'll say 7-1, Stevie. 7-1.
Lee?
Yeah, 7-1. They lose to the Rams.
I'm with Lee on that. 7-1, lose to the Rams.
All right. I'm going to go a little bold here, guys, and I'm going to say they are 5-3.
Oh, 5-3. Who do they lose to, Steve?
I'm going to give them losses to the Rams and the Patriots. I think the Saints will surprise them.
5-3. That's not going to go down well with Buck Nation, Stevie.
All right, Ira, let's get to the next question here. Next question. Since we did the first half, what's the team record? What do they finish with?
A few weeks ago, I said 15-2. I've thought about it. That's a hell of a record. I hear Lee says Pat Kerwin says 15-2. I respect Kerwin. Good football man. I got to drop down to 14-3. I can't go 15-2. But it's still good enough, I think, for the number one playoff seed in the NFC. 14-3, Steve.
I'm 14-3 as well. I'm not trying to piggyback off Ira, because we spoke about it before you called. But I think 14-3 is fair. I don't know about 15-2. I mean, I'd love to see it, but I don't know if that will happen. But I think 14 wins, I think that's fair.
All right. Well,
Steve, you're with 3 losses, and we're only at the, you know, we're only at the bye week.
All right. Well, this is why we get to have a little fun with this. Now, I'm going to pick the Bucs to finish very strong and go 13-4. So that means they close out 8-1. And the schedule is a little bit easier later in the season. So I'm gonna ad lib here, Ira. This was off script. I'm gonna ask you, in your world, where are the 2 losses? Okay, where are the 2 losses? I'll read you after the bye, the 9 games.
Okay.
You give me win or loss here. At Washington, coming out of the bye week, at Washington.
Win.
Home for the Giants.
Win.
At Indianapolis.
Win.
At the Falcons.
They're going to lose that game.
Then they come home for the Bills.
They're going to lose that game.
Okay, there's the losses. So then they close out with wins in the Sage's world against the Saints, Panthers, Jets, and Panthers.
Yes.
All right, there you have it. Sage has said 14-3. Lee's at 14-3. I'm at 13-4. Do we all agree that that's good enough? Whatever we picked is good enough to get the top seed?
Better.
14-3. Yeah, you got to think that's good enough. Well, you know, the Rams are good, but I don't think they're going to win 14 games. Green Bay's good. Same thing. Saints, no. NFC East, no factor. 14-3, number one seed. I like the sound of that.
All right, a few more questions here to hit on, And first, I want to remind everybody, though, Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford. C-U-R-R-I-E. That's the family name. 61 years. A mile north of Raymond James Stadium. BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan. He's waiting for your call, your email. He wants to help. He wants to guide you, answer your questions, whatever it is. Even if it's auto body or service, they got all those master technicians there. I believe it's 50. Unbelievable place. Bill Curry Ford. And we thank Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast, and Florida's Elite Restoration is your very first phone call whenever you have any kind of disaster in your home, flood, mold, fire, whatever it is. All right, Sage, Bucks win the Super Bowl, yes or no?
No.
Lee?
If we're talking betting, I would say no. My heart says yes, and my heart believes the Bucks will win.
What about you, Steve?
I'm going to say they win it. I'm going to say they win it. I think if Brady stays healthy, I can't pick anybody else. Let's put a number on the Dallas game because we all agree they're going to win. So let's keep this quick for the sake of the record, which we've done every season on this podcast. Final score, Ira.
41-20. Bucks.
Is that what you always say every podcast?
No.
What are you always saying?
45-3.
Okay.
But I said they're going to put up a 40 spot, so I'm saying 40, okay. 41-20 bucks. Lee, what do you got?
42-10 bucks.
Whoa.
We saw with our own eyes what a couple of backup offensive linemen mean to an offense in a Super Bowl. And if Lyle Collins is banged up, we know Zach Martin's not going to be there. I just think it's going to be a field day for the Bucs defense.
You're in trouble, Mr. Prescott. What do you got, Stevie?
37-24 Buccaneers cruise to victory.
Nice.
Ira, two things, and then we're out. We are out the door, getting ready for the season. I cannot believe that it's here. What a long trek it is. It's just, you know, we love doing our thing every single day. You know, it's what JoeBucksFan.com is all about. Ira, your reaction, Carlton Davis said today he is the best cornerback in the NFL. Look up all the stats, watch all the film, look at whatever you want. He doesn't understand why media and other people don't think he's the best. Remember, he was not voted in the NFL top 100 by his peers this year, but he says he's the best in the league, and he wasn't even being cocky about it or with a tone of it in his voice. Your reaction?
Well, I just got off the phone with Tyreek Hill, and he can't stop laughing. Now, come on, Steve. Now, let's not go crazy here. I don't care what Kevin Ross says and Arians and Bowles and the whole lot of them, that he's a top three, top five. He's not. Not yet. Not yet. Is he the best the Bucs have? Yeah, he's the best the Bucs have. But he's not a shutdown corner, Steve. And, you know, oh, well, look at the job he did in the Super Bowl. You know who did the job in the Super Bowl? Freaking Shaq Barrett and JPP. That's who did the job in the Super Bowl. You give a guy 1 second to throw the ball, I might be able to cover Tyreek Hill. Let's not go crazy. So,
you got a plate of fries.
My answer, Steve, you're getting better, but you got a ways to go. You might be top 10 in the league, and that's pretty darn good because the Bucs haven't had one of those, including when Revis was there. He wasn't a top 10. Not for the Bucs, he wasn't. So, you're good. You're not great. You got to be great.
Real quick, I don't know if you saw this, Ira, but Rondé Barber, John Lynch, and Brian Kelly.
I saw that picture.
Yeah, they were at the Kansas State-Stanford game.
What the hell's Rondé doing at a Kansas State game?
Does he have his daughter? I don't know this. Does he have a daughter going to Kansas State?
Well, maybe he does.
I don't know that. Brian Kelly's son plays for Stanford. We all know Lynch's connection. But what was funny was this morning, Dexter Jackson retweeted that with the message, "You're missing someone." So I'm gonna guess what Rondé Barber was wearing Kansas State gear. So I'm going to guess that he has a daughter going there. That's the guess.
Now, Lee, you got to weigh in on Carlton Davis saying he is the cream of the crop.
He's the cream of the crop for the Bucs.
He didn't say that. He said in the league.
No. He's not Jalen Ramsey. Hey, I don't know if he's Marlon.
Stephen Gilmore.
I love the confidence. He should have confidence. He's top 10. I don't know about top 5. He's certainly top 10. The best cornerback in the league doesn't let any receiver roast him like Tyreek Hill did. Okay, that's past history. I get it. He's good. He's the best the Bucs have. He's a Super Bowl winner. He's not Jalen Ramsey yet.
Ira, last two questions for you, okay?
Wait a minute. You didn't weigh in, sir.
There's really not much to weigh in. Do I think he's the best corner in the league? No. Do I understand why he thinks he's the best corner in the league? No, I don't understand that either. But it doesn't really matter. He's a good player. It's a contract year. He's got a lot to prove, not to Bucks fans that he's a good player, but he's got a lot to prove on the league stage. And last year we were talking about, you know, hey, the Bucks are going to get all this spotlight. Well, nobody's talking about it this year because it's obvious, but Carlton Davis has an opportunity to let the world know that he is the best in the league if he really is. So at least he'll get a chance to show it because everyone's going to be watching the Bucks. Ira.
Steve, you answered your question real quick. You answered your own question. You don't understand why Carlton Davis thinks he's the best. And then the next sentence you mentioned it's a contract year. Yeah, I wouldn't expect a guy coming up for a contract like, nah, not that good.
Yeah. And Steve, I think it's fair to point out, you know, the days of screwing the ball over with honors, those days are over. They just placed 8 guys on the top 100. They were the number one team in that regard. And Carlton Davis didn't make it, Steve. He didn't make it.
Here's a quick one for you about honors. The odds are increasing, if I got that right, that Joe Tryon could be the defensive rookie of the
year.
I'm thinking what would help him. If he makes that, I'm thinking what will help him is the Bucks are playing a lot of high-profile games. If he shines under those games, under the lights, that will help him.
I just wonder if he's going to get enough snaps, Lee.
That's very fair.
Yeah, really doubtful that he'll get enough snaps. It would be a miracle for him to pull that off. Sage, over-under here, just a very quick question. On Sunday, now this is just a Sunday-specific question, will Jameis Winston have more interceptions than you have bagels on Sunday?
Who are they playing?
Packers.
He's going to have 2, and I'm going to have 1.5 bagels. So I'm going with the over on Winston.
All right, beautiful. And the last one here just ties to a little bit of irony. I wonder if you can see the comedy in this, Ira, because I thought it was funny when he said it. Earlier, Lee mentioned the sort of the panel discussion that Brady had with Mike Evans, Lavonte David, Gronkowski at Buccaneers.com. And they asked everybody, what's your most important stat? What do you care most about? And Brady just went on this rant about interceptions, about how you cannot throw picks. I don't care if I win, you cannot throw picks. I heard that and I was like, well, I wonder what the first film session was like with him and Arians when they watched the 2019 offense. I mean, his answer and his passion behind that answer was just stunning.
Absolutely. And, you know, Brady, I don't have the stats in front of me, Lee, but I think he's probably top 10. Lowest interception rate, Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Rodgers is very, very low. And, I can't get that Green Bay game out of my mind, that playoff game, because it was so atypical of Brady, especially the way he was playing during the 8-game winning streak. 3 of the 4 picks that he threw in those 8 games came, were they all in the third quarter? Second half for sure. Steve, you know, I don't mean to be rough on Brady here, but one of them was a horrible decision. I mean, he looked like Winston at his very worst. An absolute Winston, yes. You know, brain fart. Going backwards, just throwing the ball. Brady doesn't do that.
That was rare.
Very rare. You know what the answer should have been to that question? What's the most important? All 4 of them should have said winning. Win the freaking game. But I guess that doesn't count as a stat or whatever. But I'm not surprised Brady dwelled on interceptions. He prides himself on making smart decisions. Boy, I'll tell you what, he made a lot of good decisions in 2020.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I think, to be fair to Brady, he probably, in his mind, the least amount of interceptions equals wins. So I think that was related. Now, also to be fair to Brady, and I'm like you, Ira, that is so glossed over, the 3 picks in the second half against the Packers. Has that ever happened? I guess it has. In a title game, that's rare.
That's the kind of thing that gets shoved under the rug when you win a game.
Yeah,
I mean, that could have been the story of the game.
Winning is the greatest perfume. I always say that.
Brady threw 15 total picks in 20 games last year. Last time he threw 15 in a regular season and postseason was 2011, and that was 19 games. So it's been a long time since he threw that many picks, 10 years. So it was probably in his brain, and I would expect him to throw fewer this year. I really would.
See, you know, let's be fair, though. He only threw four in the last eight games. Only four. Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's all trending very well. And, you know, I think
last eight games, think about that. The most important games.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, Ira, the podcast, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. You can find it. The Sage is here. You can subscribe for a free alert. You can even leave a review on Apple if you want to. Sage will check it out. Ira, you know what? You've given us all this wisdom, all of your takes. We're just going to say goodbye. I hope you have a fantastic Labor Day. I'm sure you won't be laboring too much. And say goodbye to your friends.
Real quick, though, I just remembered something. Yeah, this guy reached out to me on Twitter to tell you, on the white end, direct message you, Hawken, Missouri sends his regards.
Oh, that's outstanding. Of course, he'll be listening to me on the Mad Dog on Wednesday. Lee and I are going to opening night, and Steve, you will join us after the game for a post-game podcast. We're not going to waste any time. We're going to give you our thoughts on the game instantaneously from the bowels of the press box at Raymond James Stadium.